Blog Talk Radio.
U.S. businessman, author, and syndicated columnist Harvey McKay makes a very valid point when he says, and I quote, "When you wake up every day, you have two choices. You can either be positive or negative, an optimist or a pessimist. I choose to be an optimist. It's all a matter of perspective." Welcome to the Perspective Power Radio Network, live today on the 6th day of March 2016, and we're going to be talking about those words from Harvey McKay on the program today. Welcome in, everyone. We are so happy to have you with us on this beautiful winter Sunday. And we are also happy to have along with us the creator of our theme song, David Martinka. Find him at redbellymusic.com and sunshadows.net. Make sure you pick up some great CDs, gift giving. You know, Easter's right around the corner. Wonderful gifts for Easter baskets. And there's lots of great free downloads that you can listen to all day long. We appreciate David's contributions, and we appreciate your kind attention to the program today. You know, probably the biggest thing that I hear people use as their go-to when they talk about what the world is like and how they're feeling about that is the fact that that's just the way things are. Well, there's this going on in the world and that going on in the world, so I need to respond by feeling sad, by feeling angry, by embracing some sort of simpatico with the things that are happening. And yet, that really doesn't make any of those situations any better. We are raised to believe that if we're commiserating with somebody's sorrow, that somehow is a good thing. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense to put your arms around someone when they're crying, nor am I saying that it's not a wonderful thing to walk up to somebody who's recently suffered or experienced, I would rather say, a death in a family. I had a cousin literally drop dead this week shoveling snow. Here in Michigan, we've been, you know, experiencing on and off again snowstorms, and he was only 67, and he was out shoveling the snow in his yard and literally keeled over from a heart attack. Now, quite a shock, because of course none of us were expecting it. And the interesting thing is that it didn't mean that we were being pessimistic by reaching out to his widow and my cousins, his children and his grandchildren, with our respects for the experience they were going through, but we had to choose whether or not to send energy that was very positive and supportive for them, or energy like, well, you know, doggone it, darn snow, and, you know, you see what I mean? And I use that as an example because this is a very real occurrence in the lives of many people. Sudden death, jobs ending very quickly. Somebody can go into work on a Monday, get a pink slip on a Tuesday afternoon, and not even know what hit them. You can also see things happen in front of you. If you've ever watched a car accident occur right before your very eyes or come upon one immediately after it's happened, the first response might be to get into what other people might think is the negativity of that scenario or that situation. So when I looked at these words that I saw in the quote by Harvey McKay, and that's M-A-C-K-A-Y in case you want to look that up and see some of his other quotes, they're pretty insightful. We have a choice every day as to whether or not we are going to have an optimistic attitude. It's just there. There's no two ways about it. We don't have to think that the circumstances dictate our lives. We don't have to allow for things that occur, even if you did wake up that morning and say, this is a great day. I'm going to embrace it for all it's worth. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to see the good in everything that happens. I had that when I woke up the morning that my cousin David died. my day was preset. It was going to be a beautiful day. It was going to be wonderful. And when I got the news, I have to admit, I was in shock. In fact, I was in shock to the point where I couldn't go to sleep till about 1 o'clock the next morning. I had to process it. I had to allow it. When you choose to be optimistic, when you choose to have an outlook that you face in your day that says, it's going to be a beautiful day no matter what, and something like this happens out of the blue, was it letting go of my choice to experience and live with that emotion that I had that, like I said, I literally sat here and didn't know what to do with myself for about 12 to 14 hours. No, it didn't mean that I gave up on my optimism. It didn't mean that I gave up on my positive outlook. Please understand, there is a line in the sand that says to honor yourself and experience those things that you need to go through, such as I needed to go through processing my grief. I needed to go through processing my shock. That still didn't mean that it took away from my choice to be optimistic that day. When you are choosing to be an optimist, you are choosing to allow yourself to live in those moments, experiencing those things that may happen out of the blue and not understand why. It gives you the chance. It gives you the option of being able to get through it. That is so important, so very, very important. If there had been that little bit of pessimism, negativity, if you will, in my preset, my intention for the day, I might have taken a harder stance against myself for allowing myself the opportunity to embrace the feelings that I was going through. Try, you know, blow it off. Suck it up, girl. Be strong. You know, your family doesn't need you to be down right now because they need you to be strong. That would have been taking that scenario, like I said, came out of the blue, and flipped it around and not allowed me to own my need to be loving and caring for myself and to send out loving, caring energy to my family. So when we talk about being an optimist, being a pessimist, being positive or being negative, it really doesn't have as much to do with what happens in your daily life as you would think it does. It has a whole lot more to do with allowing yourself to embrace your feelings and letting them have their moment. So we use the example of my cousin's untimely passing earlier this week. So let's take another example that's going to occur for the majority of people in the United States. It doesn't necessarily happen in other parts of the world, and when it does, it happens at a different time of the year. 1 week from today is the 6th day of March of 2016, we're going to go back into what's known as daylight savings time. Daylight savings time is not exactly everybody's best friend in the whole wide world. It's the spring forward, fall back thought process. That's how we're able to remember it. So on the next time we meet, the very next time we get together, 7 days from today, which will be the 13th of March, we will be an hour ahead of ourselves. No, that doesn't mean the show starts at 1 o'clock instead of noon. We're just going to be an hour ahead. So that night before, when you go to sleep, most of us will set our clocks ahead so that instead of going to bed at 10 o'clock, it's really 11 o'clock. Instead of waking up at 7, it's really 8. You got to pay attention to that. There are a lot of people out there that don't like that change. There are a lot of people that growl and grouse and otherwise just raise a fist and shake it real hard and heavy because of that change in the time frame, and the time zones, rather, in our clocks. It just throws a lot of people off. When they wake up that morning, they will have a choice. They can either be positive or negative. They can either be an optimist or a pessimist. And the choice that they make is a matter of their perspective. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Well, I guess it really depends on how well you utilize that time that shifts, that gives us supposedly an extra hour of daylight at the time we're going to need it the most, which many people will say it's in the evening time. Some people say it's in the morning. It just really depends on what side of the clock you're looking at it from. A lot of people like the daylight hours better in the morning because then, like the kids going off to school in the morning, I can remember walking to a bus stop or walking to school when it was dark outside simply because the sun hadn't come up all the way, or it was just the luck of the draw. My classes started earlier than other people's classes. That was once I got into high school. So to me, I never thought much about it. Now that I don't have those concerns and I look at the daytime that we just lived, this time frame of standard time, and I saw that it was getting dark very early in the pre-winter days, that last part of autumn when we had shifted back to standard time, it was dark at 5 o'clock in the evening, and I think, oh, wow, it's dark already. And it made me think, gee, I should go to bed. And then I looked at the clock and thought, it's 5:30, what are you going to bed for? And so you stay up and you stay up, and then it gets a little later and a little later, and you think, wow. So my perspective shifted because I noticed that I was allowing myself to be ruled and dictated by the sun or by what was going on around me, what I was seeing outside of me. Okay, I can't change that, but my perspective on it could shift when I would say to myself things like, well, you know, I don't mind it getting darker because then it allows me to stay inside and take care of some things I wanted to do inside. Or it calls me to be more about my home, to do a little more inside my house, to give myself the opportunity to maybe get a little cozier. Perhaps I there was a closet I wanted to clean out, or there was some sort of food I wanted to prepare. Because I was inside and it was dark, doing these little busy things, or even like working on food or whatever else, kind of gave me a sense of nesting. And it allowed me to shift my perspective away from what was happening by not necessarily enjoying the fact that it got darker quicker, and therefore I could find a reason to enjoy it and celebrate it. So as people go into this daylight savings time, there might be what I like to call a little bit of jet lag. And I know that some people say that it affects them greatly, and other people say it just takes a day or two to get over. Because of the quote-unquote loss of an hour of time, it's going to take our body clocks a bit of time to catch up. But people will do it, and they'll get used to it, and it'll work easier for them. But it works easier for them if they embrace the concept and the fact that what's happening here is a matter of choice about their perspective, that it really isn't the fact that we sprung ahead. It really isn't the fact that our clocks got moved ahead an hour and will stay that way until November. So let me see, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. I'm using my fingers, isn't that great? 9 months out of a 12-month calendar year, we're on daylight savings time, basically, which then means we only have 90 days of standard time. Personally, I just wish we'd stay in standard time. Why? Because then we don't worry about moving the clocks. We allow ourselves to shift naturally with the shifting of the sun and the orbit of the earth around the sun, and it becomes something natural that we can count on. I really believe that. I've spoken to a few people that live in areas where they don't change their time clocks, and they love it. They think it's great. Their bodies are in this rhythm. They say it feels more natural to them. Their perspective is, this works for me and I'm really happy. So what if we chose the same perspective, even though we have to move our clocks? You know, this works for me. I'm very happy. This feels natural. You know, sometimes picking that perspective is more than just saying, I'm going to be optimistic or I'm going to be pessimistic. Sometimes we have to literally give ourselves, I don't want to say an education, but let's say we give ourselves, and mantra, not necessarily, but we give ourselves a script that we say to give ourselves something to fall back on and rely on when it looks like we might be unduly influenced, or it appears that we don't have the hook yet. We're not bought into the, we haven't bought into the concept. And that's when people find their bodies don't accept it, they're kind of thrown off their game. That's a very natural happenstance because we get used to a rhythm, our body clocks get used to a rhythm. So now our minds can actually play a huge role in getting us back into an attitude of gratitude for the fact that we're just there during the day, to give us the chance to find that dose of vitamin G that makes us say, I'm just going to pop a little gratitude here and take a little vitamin G and I'm going to get through this, because we will go, we will focus, we will end up where our mind is showing us it's possible to be. If we want to get over that jet lag feeling, if we want to get over that supposed stress of everything shifting, moving forward an hour, even though we weren't necessarily ready for it, because you can't be ready for it until it happens, but you can prepare for it. You can set yourself up to own an attitude that allows you to shift your perspective when it's necessary to help you get through the moment that you are experiencing. And even though in this case the moment's going to last 9 whole months, we still can set it up that way. We can still take this entire week before it leads into what's going to happen, and we can give ourselves a firm foundation upon which to build the energy so that when we wake up on March 13th at whatever time, we can say, you know what, this is the best day that I've had in my life thus far. This day is going to be good. This day rocks. I'm so excited about this day. Everything that happens in this day will turn around and honor me and allow me to feel the best I can possibly feel. Some affirmations there that might work for you. If you start saying it now, if you get into the mood of saying that every single day, I don't mean about projecting that on the 13th that's how you're going to feel. You can do that if you like. But why not say that now? Why not say that on March 7th, March 8th, and so on and so forth, all the way up until we reach that day of the 13th. Why not start putting those pieces into place and see what happens? Have you ever had to build something from scratch? I don't care whether it's a cake or it's a dwelling. I don't care whether it's a garage that you're adding to your property or it's, building something with a child. It, like Tinker Toys. I happen to love Tinker Toys. I could point right over to the corner and there's a box of Tinker Toys. It's a round cylinder, but it's still cardboard with lids on it, so it's a box. I love Tinker Toys. The funny thing is, imagination goes a long way when you're building something. But if it's something that doesn't have to have a specific structure or something that doesn't have to follow a specific design, your imagination can kind of go wild. But let's talk about the fact that on the front of the Tinker Toy container, there are pictures. There are pictures of things that people made with the Tinker Toys, right? You go to build a garage. If you walk into a construction place or you walk into one of the places where you can buy your own lumber and materials to do it, one of the first things somebody's going to say to you is, what do you want this to look like? Well, I want it to be a one car, a two car. I want it to be detached or attached. I want it to have a door on the side that I can go out of once I'm done going in, or I'll just go out the big door, you know, that's right there. I remember we had a garage when I was a kid, and we lived in Detroit back in the 60s, and that garage did not have an exit door other than the big door that you went in and out of that you brought the car into. I kid you not. Single-car garage, detached, and the door opened, and you went in, and you came out, and you reached up, and you pulled on this big cord, and the door came down. But there was no other exit door, nothing on the side, nothing on the back. So, it was, you know, when I say they're going to ask you what you wanted to have, there are precedents that not every garage, maybe now they do, but back in the day, it didn't happen that way. So the idea is the first thing you're going to say is, what do you envision this to look like? The second thing they're going to say is, when do you need it? Do you need this garage in 5 weeks? Do you need this garage in 2 months? Or is this something you're planning to do with, say, new construction? So it's going to be a bit down the road, but you're just coming in to get an estimate, see what they're going to do. And the other thing is they're going to ask you, are you ready to make your decision? You know, are you getting estimates? Are you just shopping around? Same with the toys. When you dump your Tinker Toys out on the ground, you look at the little kid and say, what do you want to make? And you might hear, I don't know. And they just start putting things together to see how they come out. Or perhaps they say, I want to make a dinosaur. I want to make a house. I want to make a car. I want to make, what else could you possibly make? An airplane. Well, if there's pictures on the box, photographs of other things people have done, you can pretty much figure out that you need X amount of long pieces, X amount of round pieces, and if you put them together the same as they did, you will make a car, a person, a house, an airplane. So the idea is we know what we want. We know when we want it. And it is not up to us as to how we get it, but to stay focused on that. Because if you're going to hire somebody to build your garage, how it's going to happen is not up to you. They're the expert. They've got that figured out. You just told them what you wanted, when you wanted it. Maybe you guys negotiated a price, and you let it go. The same analogy works when you're talking about your day, when you're talking about the perspective you're going to have. You can say, this is going to be a great day. This is going to be a wonderful day. I'm going to enjoy everything that I see. I'm going to have a fabulous attitude towards it, and I'm just going to let it go. So you know what it is you want. You want a great day. You know when you want it right now. And you know what you want it to look like. I want it to be happy. I want it to be filled with sunshine. I want it to be filled with life and love. And you let that go. How it's going to come about really is not up to you. If you then turn around and say, okay, day, this is what I want, and then you say, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to shake hands with puppy dogs and I'm going to hug babies and I'm going to smile at everybody I meet, there's no guarantee that by doing that, you will get those things that you wanted, that good day, that fun day, that fabulous energy coming your way. Because you can give the puppies all the hugs and smooches you want, but they're not necessarily going to love you back. You can hug all the babies in the world, but they're not necessarily going to enjoy it, and so on and so forth. So by allowing the day, which in this case would be analogous to the person that builds the garages, or the people that made the Tinker Toys, by allowing the day to bring to you what it has to offer that matches your vibration of positive perspective, you are now owning the power. You're putting the power into your perspective because that's where the power is. So let's say that other people might look at what happened in your day and think, oh, gosh, that would just have set me right off. I wouldn't have gotten that. I didn't understand that. That didn't make any sense to me. Then the interesting thing is, as long as you are holding the power of your own perspective, it doesn't matter what they say. It can't throw you off your game. It can't trip you up. It can't make you fall over. It can't give you a reason to say, ooh, because you're steadfast in your power. Doesn't mean you're not flexible. Doesn't mean you can't bend with the wind. None of that. But it means that you own it. It means that you give yourself permission to be okay with what is happening because you will choose to find the good in that moment. You will choose to find the beauty in that day. You will choose to find a reason to be grateful. And I'm going to step back for a moment to what I talked about at the beginning, the untimely passing of my cousin David, 67 years old, shoveling snow, died of a heart attack instantly. Now, I know this sounds like, well, gee, a Pollyanna thought process. But once I was able to get beyond my grief, very natural thing, grief, right? I was able to realize that there was, for him, absolutely no suffering. Seems to be the number one thing that scares people about death is that they'll suffer. Or death of a friend or a loved one is that that person will suffer. An animal, a pet, we go to the vet and they say the animal has a disease that they cannot cure, or perhaps has to undergo an operation or a series of operations that there's no guarantee they'll even survive or it will fix them. And generally, very compassionate people will look at the vet and say, I don't want them to suffer. Will they be suffering? And if the vet says, yes, probably, usually the next words out of their mouth is, well, then why don't we just, you know, put them down now, give them the chance to move forward in a humane and caring and loving way. So when I looked at my day, that I woke up that morning and I said, this is the best day of my life thus far. All my relationships are harmonious. Something wonderful is about to happen on this day of magic and miracles. These are things I say every morning, and I feel them, and I own them, and I allow that to create my perspective. I allow that to be my optimistic thought process for the day. And then the train gets derailed like that. There is still a way of owning, hanging on to, and allowing that optimistic perspective to still reign supreme over that day. And I could look at the day and I could say to myself, wow, March 2nd, big black day in the history of my life because this happened. Or I can say, wow, March 2nd, amazing day in the history of my life because that was the day that my cousin David got his wings. That was the day that my cousin David got to shed his physical body and become one with universal love. By allowing myself to experience my grief without it taking away from the optimism of my day, I can get to a point and have reached a point where while it's still a little strange to think I won't be able to physically see him again, I don't allow what happened, even though that what happened was a very powerful influence, to take away from the perspective of my day. As Harvey McKay said, when you wake up every day, you have two choices. I believe that every moment of every day, you have two choices. You can either be positive or negative, an optimist or a pessimist, his words. He chooses to be an optimist because it is all a matter of perspective. And it doesn't matter whether it's that Tinker Toy game, doesn't matter if it's you get to the grocery store and they have an item on sale, and of course you weren't the first one through the door, but you got there as soon as you possibly could, and guess what? They're out of your sale item. Perhaps you'll get a rain check. Maybe you were counting on that sale item to make for dinner that night. You can choose to be positive or negative about it. And let me tell you something right up front. It doesn't matter what you choose. Please understand that. I'm going to love you no matter what you choose. I'm not judging. I should say this. I'm not judging what you choose. Whatever energy you go with, you will find a consistent flow in your life until such time as you shift that energy. Whatever energy you go with, you will find a consistent flow of that energy in your life until such time as you choose to change that. It should only matter to you. It should only matter to you. If you find yourself in that spinning circle, kind of like looking like a funnel cloud, and it just seems to be spiraling more and more and more into an energy that you are not comfortable with, whether it's pessimism or optimism. People aren't comfortable being optimistic all the time. Hey, that's just people. That's human nature. It stays. You attract more of the same. Think of the cloud. It spins around and it grabs things and it brings it right to the center, brings everything that it touches, everything that magnetizes to it or gets caught in its whirling until there's such a pile that's all you sense and see. When you decide that you want to move forward, you will shift your perspective and you will notice that things change, that the world around you honors that, that the energy around you becomes something very different. And you might even think to yourself, wow, I agree with Harvey McKay. It is all a matter of perspective. And that's where the power is. It is always our perspective that holds our power, not the scenario, not the things that happen in life. It is strictly, totally, completely, and always our perspective that holds our power. That's what the Perspective Power Radio Network is all about. I can say that, right? Should have named it something without all those T's in it, right? I can say it easier. I can also tell you that redbellymusic.com and sunshadows.net holds fantastic energy because it has the music of award-winning artist David Martinka, who supplies our theme music for the program. And I will remind you again that on the 13th of March, 2016, when you wake up, we will have sprung forward in many parts of the United States. So remember, on the 12th of March, set your clocks ahead an hour. Thank you so much for tuning into the Perspective Power Radio Network.